Welcome to Alabama AgCast, a weekly conversation about news and issues affecting Alabama farmers and forest landowners. Alabama AgCast is produced by the Alabama Farmers Federation.
Hello and welcome to this week's Alabama AgCast. I'm your host, Mike Moody. Alabama farmers have just returned from the American Farm Bureau Federation annual meeting held January 19 through 24 in Salt Lake City, Utah. Brady and Anna Peak of Limestone County claimed third place in the AFBF Achievement Award contest for the nation's top young farm families. This is the second consecutive year Alabama's representatives have finished in the top three. Our own Hunter McBrayer caught up with the Peaks just after the announcement.
Hey, this is Hunter McBrayer with the Alabama Farmers Federation, coming to you directly after our Achievement Award announcement here in Salt Lake City. I'm with Brady and Anna Peak, third place winners in the nation as one of the top farm families. Brady and Anna, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So for those of you that are out there that may not really know Brady and Anna, why don't y'all tell us a little bit about yourselves?
We are Brady and Anna Peak of Elkmont, Alabama, in the northern part of the state. We are the proud parents of six-month-old Ridgeway.
We farm a little over 2,000 acres of corn, cotton, soybeans, wheat, and a little bit of produce.
And we are technically fifth-generation farmers, but in every aspect of it, we're first-generation farmers, being that we started our operation from nothing after my family got out of production agriculture.
You know, I've had the opportunity to know you both for quite some time now, even before I worked here in the Farmers Federation. But tell me a little bit more about that. You said the fifth generation to farm, but really a first generation farm. What do you mean by that?
My family has long-term been involved in production agriculture, I guess it was around in the early 2000s, my dad, he decided to pursue a different business opportunity that he was involved in, so he stepped out of production agriculture, and he was out for about 6 years, and through my involvement in 4-H and FFA, I decided I wanted to try my hand at it on a real small scale, and so that was where we got our start. We started on 100 acres of rented land, and was just able to grow it from there.
Anna, what's it like to be married to Brady Peak?
we want to go there.
It's okay. Anna, I know about your background, but tell me a little bit about how you grew up and maybe how you and Brady have met and what life looks like together with y'all.
Okay. We went to the same elementary school, the same high school, so we've known each other basically our whole lives, so we didn't really start dating until after college. And I did not grow up on a farm. I didn't really think about farming at all, really. So when I got involved with Brady, it was a new world of learning all about agriculture. And now being married to him, I feel like our lives just revolve around agriculture, and we love that.
I know that you mentioned the row crop operation. Obviously, that's a large portion of what y'all do. Anna, you've recently stepped out of the classroom as we welcomed Baby Ridge to the farm, and tell us a little bit about what you've got going on and some of the new ventures that y'all are looking at.
In the past 2 years, we have started planting sweet corn and going to our local farmers market to sell the sweet corn. And then this year we planted zinnias and sunflowers, and we had a U-pick petal patch where people came and visited and picked flowers to take home. We had a pumpkin patch this year, and we currently have strawberries that are getting ready for hopefully you pick in the spring.
No, I think that's wonderful. And, you know, you can share more about where y'all live and those things, but an incredibly urban area and becoming more so, it seems, every single day, maybe every minute of every day. What's the importance of that? How does that play a role in the community?
Well, the more people that we feel like come into our area, the less we feel like people understand agriculture and what's going on. So being able to have these U-pick opportunities and getting to know people and go to farmers markets, we get to share all about our operation and how important that is. And I think in our area, it's being received very well.
Because oftentimes I tell people that farming is what paved the roads and put us on the map, but that's often forgot about now with factories and different things that's going on in our local area. But farming is still very important to our local area.
Oh, incredibly important. I mean, as much as we want to talk about progress and bringing more jobs to the state, which are all very important things, obviously, for the state of Alabama, agriculture is still number one, and it's easy for some folks to forget that when they're doing that. Brady, I want to talk a little bit about your journey through Young Farmers. I know you've had some leadership positions and some opportunities. Tell me a little bit about kind of how you got to where you are now.
Well, I attended my first Young Farmers. Well, I guess I've going all the way back to when I was born. I've gone to Farmers Federation events and Young Farmers events my whole life, but me personally, I stepped out and went to my first Young Farmers meeting on my own when I was 16 years old, and just kind of grew from there and through opportunities presented through Auburn University Young Farmers. I made a lot of friends, was able to get involved in some leadership opportunities there, and went to State Young Farmers Leadership Conference. We went to competed in the Collegiate Discussion Meet and was able to go to YF&R Fusion Conference. And then just kind of that springboarded me back home after college to where we hit the ground running with the Limestone County Young Farmers and trying to build and continue to grow that program. And just through opportunities there led me to running and serving on the State Young Farmers Committee, where I was elected chairman one year. And, you know, I've got to travel the world with Young Farmers and the Farmers Federation, and I've got to meet people all over the world that's allowed me to network and help build our farm, and has allowed us to be better managers of what we do have just through the leadership opportunities and the positions that we've been put in to grow. And I can't say enough about that. I don't feel like there's ever been an invaluable minute spent with Young Farmers and the Farmers Federation.
And what about you? You know, as you were growing up, not farming, coming into honestly a state and national family of farmers, and that's, you know, we talk about Farm Bureau or the Alabama Farmers Federation being a family. What's it like from your point of view? He's always done it. Mm-hmm. What's it like for you?
Well, when we first started dating, I just went with him. I was just tagging along, and the more we've gotten involved, I'd say the more confidence that I have gained to be able to communicate and talk about agriculture with other people. Because, I mean, even through these competitions, it's definitely put me out of my comfort zone entirely. So I think it's just given me the confidence to be able to actually know what I'm talking about when somebody asks me about farming.
Y'all are 32 years old, basically. I might have that a little off, but I think I'm pretty close on that. And, you know, I probably know as much about your operation as anybody in the world at this point, I guess, other than y'all. What does it feel like? I mean, as y'all were getting to know some of the top farm families, and I want to kind of hit on that a little bit. You know, of course you won at the state level, and then you made it to the top 10. In third here at National Convention, I think it truly is a remarkable thing. And to meet all these other farm families, what's it like? Because y'all are some of the youngest ones that were standing on stage today.
It's an honor. It's humbling. From what we did learn, we were the youngest ones there.
Yeah.
And
felt very like out of our league of being around all of the people that were there. Like.
Yeah, because everybody that was there was deserving. And so anyways, just to be there was humbling, but just to get the opportunity to farm every day is rather humbling as well, because that was an opportunity that we didn't know if it would ever be possible or not. So to have that and then to also be recognized as outstanding is, you know, icing on the cake.
Sure, yeah. You know, I know we have talked about this, and these competitions are about recognizing your achievements. I mean, it's the Achievement Award at the national level, Outstanding Young Farm Family in Alabama. And these prizes, obviously, are great. The Alabama prizes, not too shabby, if I must point that out, you know, here. But it really is about bringing attention to the next generation of farmers. I think it's one of the most important things that this does. Kind of is your journey competing in this competition and others. What has that looked like, and what has it kind of taught you over the last couple of years, several years?
Well, I think Anna could attest to this as well. And even if there wasn't a prize involved, what we've gained has been so much greater than the prize package. We've been able to learn about ourselves. We've been able to chart growth, to physically write down, you know, dreams and aspirations. And, you know, I think we both learned about each other through this process as well. And so all of that has been just, like, I hate to keep saying invaluable, but, you know, it's hard to put a value on that. And it's just, we have grown a tremendous amount through doing it. And would encourage anybody to do it. If you're looking to try to better yourself, better your operation, anything, you know, if you win, the prizes are great. But what you get besides that is probably worth more.
I could have answered that question better if I was trying to sell the competition to somebody, Brady. So I'm thankful for that. So I know we're beginning to get to a point where we probably need to start wrapping up, but I'm going to ask this. What's next? You know, obviously, you're at the pinnacle of this potential young farmers competition, I guess, but there's others, as I'm sure you're aware of. You know, what does it look like for your farm? You mentioned your goals and aspirations. I know if anybody that knows you knows that you are quite the mechanic, I guess you could say, that also wheels and deals in the equipment business. But more importantly, your legacy, not just on your farm, not just for Ridge. Obviously, I know about that. But, you know, as young farmers, as competing and representing Alabama, what does that look like?
I mean, for me personally, I mean, this competition, especially since it has taken a lot of time. And, I mean, we've got goals and dreams and aspirations on a lot of different levels, but I think probably for the time being, it's just kind of need to focus on actually the farm and, you know, continue to work on building it into, you know, we've got some physical projects that we're working on there and to continue to grow and just to keep building what we, you know, we've always dreamed of, and while doing that, to continue to be the voice of farming and just to promote agriculture and specifically Alabama agriculture, because I don't feel like anybody does it any better than Alabama does. And so, you know, just to keep, you know, working on our projects on the farm, to keep growing and to, you know, allow the farm to grow, allow us to grow personally, and, you know, the people that work with us to continue to help them grow as well.
And what do you think? What's next in your immediate future with the farm and raising Ridge on a farm that y'all both are so passionate about?
Probably to get him out there and pick some strawberries in the spring. Hopefully, I guess the next steps would be working on the agritourism part of our operation that is newer. See how much we can make that grow, I guess.
It's never a dull day on the farm, especially when your day starts before the sun comes up. We're Alabama Ag Credit, and while some don't get it, we do. As the local experts in rural real estate financing, we've helped farmers finance everything from homes and land to tractors and crops. Because sometimes your natural resources need financial resources.
Alabama's 19 voting delegates joined 327 delegates from across the country to push policy that will impact decisions in Washington, D.C. The session included Jimmy Parnell's re-election to the AFBF Board of Directors and re-election of Georgia farmer Zippy Duval as national president. Maggie Edwards spoke with Mitt Walker, Director of Governmental and Agricultural Programs, and Philip Hunter, District 6 board member and delegate representing Alabama, about their perspective of the delegate meeting.
Before we get going, I want to have Mitt Walker kind of explain what happens on the last day of American Farm Bureau Convention with the policy work and why that is so important.
Thank you, Maggie. You know, today was a long day. It's what we call our delegate meeting, and it's really the culmination of months and months of work that go into developing the policy for the next year for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Any of the new policies we talked about today probably originated in a county somewhere across the country back during the summertime. Some county in some state in the United States, and each state has a process much like we do where those county resolutions make their way up to a policy development committee at the state level. And then ultimately, like Alabama Farmers Federation, the other farm bureaus will have their annual meeting to adopt the policies that they would send forward. So, you know, grassroots is kind of a cliche that's thrown around, but by my estimation, the American Farm Bureau is still truly a grassroots organization that's driven from the members across the countryside. And today was, again, kind of the culmination of that work to address the new policies that were adopted.
There were a total of 346 delegates on the floor, 19 of which were from Alabama. Philip Hunter, you were one of those. Tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are. You're on our Federation State Board, but you're also a producer yourself. So give us a small glimpse of what every day is like for you.
So we're in the nursery business in Talladega County. We farm 300 acres, and we sell ornamental trees all over the southeast and up the eastern seaboard.
So for you, why are things like today so important? You know, this policy work, it starts at the grassroots level, county up. For you as a producer, why is what happened today so important?
Well, we talked a lot about policy that affects operation. One of the most important things and one of the lengthiest topics today was about labor, and specifically either temporary or possibly in the future year-round farm labor that is that are guest workers. And so we have guest workers at our farm. We're on the H-2A program, and there was a lot of talk about labor. So there are topics that we're talking about today that affect what we're doing every day back home.
Okay, back to you, Mitt. So maybe go into some of the specifics or some of the things that you think really hit home for Alabama members, some of the main topics that people back home would be interested in.
Yeah, a real big variety of things. One of the more interesting topics that we're still learning about, to be honest with you, is the emergence of artificial intelligence. There was a fair amount of time spent talking about how artificial intelligence is becoming more prevalent in agriculture and really setting some policy to set some guardrails to make sure our farmers are protected in that. Very much like the data privacy type information we've worked on in the past, I think artificial intelligence was one area we talked about. Conservation, we talked about a few little tweaks to conservation programs in the Farm Bill, if and when we get to a new Farm Bill to have a discussion. Animal health, mRNA vaccines was a topic that was discussed at length today. So, you know, it's really an interesting time to listen to these conversations, to hear the perspectives from different farmers across the country, different regions. Ultimately, that's what's really neat about the American Farm Bureau Federation, though, is that you may have some disagreements or see things slightly differently, but we get in the room, we debate those topics. Ultimately, a decision's made, a policy's adopted, and hopefully we can walk away with a unified voice and be that voice of agriculture that American Farm Bureau is.
Yeah, I agree with Mitt. It's so important for us to be here. Mitt maybe has access to possible policy amendments that are coming through and maybe in the fall. Our staff's able to review those. As a delegate, though, I get to sit here and listen to perspectives from all over the country, and that really fleshes out those possible policy amendments, and it gives me a better understanding. While just that black and white print, a sentence or two on a page, you need to be here to hear the depth of that. And to hear the discussion, there was healthy discussion, there was agreement, there was disagreement, and we came to a conclusion. Maybe not everybody was happy, but the majority ruled, and that's what we're after, what's best for our farmers all across the nation.
And for you, Philip, how many years have you been coming to American Farm Bureau Convention as a delegate?
I'm so fortunate. This is my seventh year to come, so I was just reelected to my third term as district director, and this is my seventh year. So had a great time, and every year I learn something new. I see a lot of the same people, but probably I'm more and more engaged.
And so out of that 346, Mitt, Alabama has 19. How do they pick, you know, what state gets how many delegates? Kind of explain that to
our
listeners.
Yeah, it's based on membership. So, you know, we have a fairly large contingency of delegates compared to the other states, but it's based on membership from state to state, and that's the way that's set.
Okay, so we're concluding the 105th Convention of American Farm Bureau. We're headed back to Alabama. What happens next? You know, when do we restart working for policy for next year, this time next year? Is it continual, or, you know, what's the next step?
Yeah, you know, policy development really never stops. You know, there'll be some things that were talked about this year that may lead to further development of policies around those areas for the next year. Sometimes we end up tweaking those policies. We look and say, hey, you know, we could probably say this a little better way, but policy development never stops. Trying to get that policy implemented never stops. It's really a year-round process.
And Philip, I can kind of let you wrap us up. What would you say, you know, to someone, this is their first time ever being a delegate, you know, what's some advice you would give? We'll talk to Dylan Turk a little bit later about his first time as sitting in that delegate room and sitting on that business floor. What's some advice?
Well, obviously being there and hearing all the different perspectives, meeting some new people, getting an understanding of, we talked about Midwest, we talked about West Coast, we talked about East Coast. So just exploring that diversity and learning more about how different issues affect different parts of the nation or different parts of agriculture. There's so many different segments of agriculture. And that's what I've learned, and what Dylan will learn over time, or somebody new, is that you gotta look at it from a big picture standpoint. I want to understand more what affects a cattleman or a row crop farmer in specialty crops. So I want to have a better understanding what affects agriculture as a whole.
This was my first time being at the American Farm Bureau Convention and actually sitting in and listening. You know, I'm blown away with how many people are so passionate and care for the industry and the people in that room that are fighting for everyone back home. So, Philip, I want to say thank you for serving and thank you for being here. And, Mitt, I want to say thank you for what you do and for fighting for farmers in D.C. and all across the nation. So I want to say thank y'all.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie.
State Young Farmer Committee Chair Dylan Turk spoke with Maggie Edwards about his experience attending the AFBF National Convention for the first time.
I'm here with Dylan Turk, the Federation State Young Farmers Committee Chairman. And Dylan, this is Dylan's first time coming to an AFBF convention. This is his first time serving as a delegate. As a State Young Farmers Chair, you serve 1 year ex officio on the Federation State Board, which means you do get to travel with Alabama's delegation and vote in policy that affects farmers nationwide and work in Washington, D.C. So, Dylan, before we get started with convention stuff, let's talk about you and who you are and about your operation.
Yeah, thank you, Maggie. So, I'm Dylan Turk. Like she said, I'm the current State Young Farmers Chairman. I live in Sims at Renton, Mobile County. I work on my family's wholesale container nursery. I live there with my wife, Hannah, and our three kids, Marshall, McLean, and Lottie. And like Maggie said, this is my first time attending the Farm Bureau Convention, and it's been quite the learning experience. It's been a lot to learn, but I've enjoyed my time so far.
So Dylan, tell our listeners a little bit about your Federation involvement. I mean, I know a little bit about things you've done with Alpha Leaders and things like that, but just kind of brush on some of that.
Yeah, so unlike probably most people, my involvement is relatively new. I haven't been involved all that long, maybe roughly 5 years or so. It started going to some Mobile County Young Farmers meetings, and then graduated to having a leadership position there, rotated onto our county board, and went through the Alpha Leaders program finished up last year. And then I've been on the committee for, this is my fourth year, and I've served as secretary, vice chairman, and now chairman. And it's been, like I said, not many years, but tried to pack as much as I could in there, because once I got involved, it's kind of just like a whirlwind. It was one thing after another, but I think each thing I've gotten plugged into is I've been able to see the value in it. So they kind of compound on each other.
And that value kind of takes us to where we are today. We're in Salt Lake City, Utah. We just concluded the 105th convention of American Farm Bureau, and there was 346 delegates on the floor today. And Alabama, I mentioned this earlier, but Alabama had 19. And Dylan, you were one of those, and you might have been one of the younger ones on the floor. What was that experience like for you? Walk me through that. I know if it were me in your shoes, I would have felt some nerves, but also just been thankful to be there amongst all of those people. So what was it like for you?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, it's been a lot in the last few days, but the experience of being able to sit out there on that floor, it's unique because, of course, Alabama has its own policy development, its own policy process. It's a similar process, but, you know, when you're talking about Alabama and developing Alabama policy, for the most part, everyone's dealing with very similar issues. You know, we all have the same general growing climate, growing season, things like that. You know, when you sit on this floor with, like you just said, 350 people representing 50 states, I mean, you're dealing with issues that, you know, may affect me in Alabama completely different than Joe in Idaho, you know. So getting to hear policy change proposed and then the discussion, right? So you've got one person on this side of the room standing up in favor of an amendment, then he can make a great point, but then the next person across the room, she may stand up and say how that would completely affect her in a negative way. So you know, being able to see 50 states sending 350 representatives for millions of members across the country come together and come out of that room with an agreed upon unified book that is policy for our representatives to reference when they're in Washington or when they're speaking to our representatives, that shows us as a unified body and all working towards a common goal. It was really interesting, it was a long day, of course, and I probably, you know, didn't keep up with everything that was talked about, but I definitely learned a lot today.
I think that's what makes Farm Bureau and the Alabama Farmers Federation so great, is that it is a unified voice and you're so much stronger together. And so I'm grateful that you and our other delegates had the opportunity to sit on the floor. Was it what you expected? You know, going in, is it what you imagined it would be? Did you have other visions of what you would expect?
You know, it is roughly what I expected. I guess I didn't realize how many people would be sitting as delegates. You know, that was surprising. Alabama, I will say, does a fantastic job of modeling that same scenario. So, you know, having been able to been involved in Alabama's policy kind of gave me a gateway to being somewhat prepared for today, you know, just on a larger scale. So I did have some version of it in my mind, but not quite to the scale that it was.
So the business session and the policy, that's a really big part of why we come here to this convention. But also, as Young Farmers Chairman, you had other duties here. You know, you're representing young farmers from across Alabama, you're sitting as a delegate, but you also, you know, had some time working with Discussion Meet competition. So talk about that and your experience working with Discussion Meet.
Yeah, so we had multiple competitors out here. We had Grayson Lauderdale competing for Discussion Meet, and we had Brady and Anna Pete competing for Outstanding Young Farm Family, as they call it, the Achievement Award. We had Zach Brandon, who was going to be out here for Excellence in Ag. Of course, he had family matters to tend to, and you know, we hate he had to deal with it. I think he definitely would have won first place, but we'll have to keep that in our personal record books. But you know, Grayson did well in Discussion Meet. He represented us, and the way it works is there's an initial round, and they dwindle it all the way down to your final four. So we were able to watch four different rounds of Discussion Meet and see people from all over the country, you know. So we do a very good job being competitive in our state because we do have pretty good involvement with Discussion Meet. But you're dealing with the best of each state here at the national convention. So being able to see some slightly more competitive Discussion Meets, and each round gets more competitive. So that was beneficial. And just seeing how, you know, how different states teach and coach their competitors. you know, we got to take some notes on different things. Hunter and I talked about, you know, do's and things that some do's that we liked and some don'ts also. So we got to watch that, and we also got to watch, I think it was 4 Excellence in Ag presentations. We couldn't watch all of them, of course, because they were going on throughout the day and we had other duties, but just the 4 that we did watch, you know, you always have takeaways. And of course, like I said, Zach didn't get to do his, but we saw things and kind of acted like judges ourselves, saw things that we did like and things that we may try to steer away from, you know. And now that we know who won, you know, we kind of have an idea what the judges thought too. So that was great to get to watch those. Of course, we didn't really get to sit in on anything for Brady and Anna. All their stuff was private, but obviously they said something right because they came in the top 3 nationwide. So we're really proud of that.
I think you know, you come to these conferences and you're really excited to cheer on your competitors, and that is fantastic, you know, getting to cheer them on and seeing their accomplishments. But it's also the takeaways. You know, as Young Farmers Chair, you're taking away things that you can go back to Alabama and kind of teach other young farmers. You know, I was talking to Grayson after his discussion meet, and he said that he's just excited to go back home and share what he learned with other people. So do you have any plans for your year now that you've been here, you know, as chair? What do you have going with that?
Well, aside from just the competitions, of course, like we did take notes and we have something to go back, and Grayson's probably got his own things to go back and talk to future competitors and say, hey, you know, maybe try this, maybe don't try this, and things like that. But just like anything like this, any sort of conference or event where you're among your counterparts from other states, I was able to talk to multiple, not just Young Farmers Committee members or chairmen from their states, but also directors, you know, hunters' counterparts in other states, and see how their program runs, how they do their conference, you know, how they recruit people, how they host county meetings, things like that, and not just talk to them about what works for them, what doesn't, but also I was able to talk to some folks from Mississippi and Florida about the possibility of, you know, maybe having us over there for something or vice versa, so that we can trade back some information and maybe get a little bit more collaboration, you know, and try to plan an event or something to where we can get our committees with their committees and you know, maybe just bounce ideas off each other or something like that. So that whole networking side of things is always my favorite part of coming to something like this. So I really enjoyed getting to do some of that.
Well, we're so glad that you were here and you represented Alabama. You represented young farmers all across the state. You represented all the farmers and members of the Alabama Farmers Federation. One last question and we'll wrap up, but I want you to think about, you know, who you were 5 years ago or who you were just a year ago. What's some advice you would give young farmers that, you know, could be in your shoes one day or could be on a state board one day? You know, what's the advice you would give them?
Well, coming out of school, you know, like I said, I wasn't very involved in the Federation. So my knowledge and my access to the county level and stuff, it was limited. But once I did get involved, I promise I did not see myself being the state Young Farmers Chairman at any point, much less a few years. But, you know, I think the best thing I could tell somebody is if someone's invited you to a county meeting or a young farmers meeting or anything related to it, just go. You know, it may not be for you, you know, and you may have a problem with the way they do this or you may disagree with X, Y, and Z, but, you know, you don't know for sure until you go and try. So I think the main thing would be just to go. But the overall, I think what you hear more than anything, the overall message would be is to get involved, because, you know, we're all busy. We all have full-time jobs. We all have families. We all have, half of us probably have, you know, another job or something. You know, we're all really busy people. But if you can see the value in getting involved and what you get back out of the Federation, you know, the little bit of extra time that it takes to be plugged into something can pay dividends on the back end. And it may save you time and money down the road because you can avoid some mistakes or avoid something that you may not have known about if you hadn't been plugged in. So I would highly encourage anybody that's young and has any little bit of interest to get involved and get plugged in. And I'd be happy to be a resource to anybody that is having trouble with something or just wants a path to get plugged in. You know, maybe you're having trouble getting plugged in with your young farmers group in your county. You know, feel free to reach out to me, because I'd be happy to help any way I can.
Well, we're certainly happy to have you and your leadership, and we know that your year has just begun, and it's gonna be wonderful. And we're really thankful that you were here with us to represent, and we're excited to see what all you and your committee accomplish this year. So thank you.
Thank you, Maggie.
Other highlights from AFBF include Federation Wildlife Division Director William Green presented a timely session dealing with feral hog and deer damage considerations for 2024. Limestone County's Grayson Lauderdale represented Alabama in the discussion meet competition, while Jonathan and Sarah Sanders of Coffee County finished their term serving on the AFBF Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. The Federation was also honored for outstanding achievements in all four Awards of Excellence categories: Advocacy, Coalitions and Partnerships, Engagements and Outreach, and Leadership and Business Development. For more information about the convention, including an important announcement from U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack and representation from Alabama 4-H and FFA, check out the upcoming Neighbors magazine or find it online at alphafarmers.org.
Thank you for joining us for Alabama AgCast. For more information about today's conversation, check out the show notes or visit alphafarmers.org/AgCast. Be sure to follow Alabama Farmers Federation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tune in next week for another timely conversation from Alabama AgCast.